seated. Welcome to St. Peter's tonight on this very wonderful occasion. Time after a lengthy period of selection, when the parish had made what we believe is to be exactly the right choice for this parish and its future. We look forward to a fruitful ministry beginning tonight for Father Hugh and indeed for all of this parish. Amongst the readings that are passed, there's one particularly I want to pass on from Peter Carroll, the director of Theology House in Christchurch. He says, "I write to convey through you to Hugh Bowron our very best wishes for his new ministry in the parish of Caversham. Hugh has regularly made use of the study facilities at Theology House. We will miss his good-humoured and stimulating presence in the library. We also appreciated Hugh's theological lectures in 2012, and he is always welcome back to give some more if you can spare him and know Peter. We can't." We meet in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Loving God, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Bishop Calvin, we remember you, Father Hugh Bowron, from his life and ministry in Christchurch. We ask you to receive him into the company of the priests of the Diocese of Dean and into the leadership of the parish of St. Peter's Caversham.
Bishop Calvin, our parish seeks to be part of Christ's continuing mission, building the kingdom and showing the love of Christ in its community. We support Father Hugh's selection and welcome him to South Africa, believing that he comes to us with the gifts that will strengthen and lead our witness to Christ in the world.
My brothers and sisters of the parish of St. Peter's Caversham, are you willing to welcome Father Hugh among you as your vicar?
We are. Thanks be to God.
Hugh, I ask you in the presence of this congregation, do you believe that God has called you to minister in this place?
I do.
Are you willing to undertake this ministry?
I am.
As we license a new priest in this ministry, let us pray for him and for all who share in the ministry of this parish, that he may be a faithful priest and a true shepherd, and that all may work together for the building up of God's kingdom in this place. Son, you have called us into the fellowship of your universal church. Hear our prayer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry each may be an instrument of your love, and give to your servant Hugh and all who minister in this place the needful gifts of grace through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At the feast for Candlemas, let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we humbly pray that as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple, so we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts by Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Thus says the Lord God, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who shall endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former days. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
We're reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the source of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, "Here am I, and the children whom God has given me." Since the children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that Jesus did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because Jesus himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The parents of Jesus drove him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Hannah, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow at the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When the parents of Jesus had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
This is the Gospel of Christ.
And clergy, whether they preach regularly return to the family meal table into a kind of perpetual debating chamber in which we were expected to hold our own, resourced from the many books that festooned the house. It was an apprenticeship in wordsmithing that money couldn't buy. But being fluent and articulate from the pulpit isn't enough on its own. There must be content also. I discovered this at about the midpoint of my ministry when I realised how superficial much of what I had to say really was. The people of God had a right to expect more than from me than just some gleanings from the latest slip paperback I've read or unusual movie I've been through. They had come expecting, hopefully, an immersion in the deep things of God, and I had better set about providing it. I also realised that the most perfect punishment that God could devise for clergy would be to make them listen to their own sermons for all eternity. Could I listen to my own offerings on a repeating basis without cringing with embarrassment, or wringing my hands with regret at opportunities missed, or a deep doctrinal error so lightly expressed? I don't underestimate for one minute the difficulties that unchurched people have in making their way into the bewildering culture of a church whose customs were formed in the ancient world and whose communitarian expectations are so utterly different from our own atomized culture. But having braved their way to our quaint little world, shall we have something to say to them, something worth hearing, and something they can base their lives on? Will we have come to understand the deep things of God to such an extent that we can express them in ways accessible, attractive, and lucid? This is the preacher's challenge. It concerns me that often the discussions about mission strategies that are so high in the agendas of churches today are in fact debates about tactics rather than strategy, about slick tricks to lure people in, with little thought about what to say to them or what to do with them once they're there. Rather than accommodating ourselves to our surrounding culture, we might instead glory in and major in the one distinctive thing we have to add to the lives of those around us that no other institution or service provider can in fact deliver. What we offer no one else can is to be in transformative union with the triune God, to be in intimate relationship with the ground, source, and goal of all that is. We proclaim that the arrival of Jesus Christ in our world was a restorative act designed for the reconstruction of a human nature that had fallen into existential decay as a result of its alienation from God. How easily these phrases slide off the tongue. How great and fascinating a challenge to unpack the meaning of them in the experience and thinking of curious inquirers. But what summons people of faith are not just words and explanations, but also an encounter with the numinous. Anglicans share with Catholics and Eastern Orthodox a liturgical tradition that sets up its meeting with God in a dramatic form, as a stately dance in classical style where everyone knows the script and essential movements and can therefore relax into their roles. But for this to work, to become a vehicle for God to transmit something of his wonder and mystery, it must be done well. St. Peter's Cabochon believes that and therefore expects his figures to have good table manners at the altar. Indeed, the vicar-elect was invited to give a command performance as a part of the selection process. But this isn't just a matter of individual taste and high art aesthetics. When the liturgy degenerates into a sham
allies and locations of common cause. The Knox Ministry Centre Worship Course book, for instance, is a liturgical statement of intent that I could, in the main, cheerfully sign up to. And concerned critics in the Diocese of Christchurch thought I was spending too much time consorting with evangelicals and hanging out at theology conferences at places like Kerry Baptist and Auckland Laidlaw College. But I will go wherever there is a serious discussion of the doctrine of God on offer, wanting to be informed, as well as to offer my 10 cents worth. And I note with wry amusement that God, with his usual sense of humour, often creeps up on Protestantism unawares and provokes some of its most articulate ideologues to say some astonishingly catholic things. But none of these high-balloon agendas. My father offered me a piece of advice just before I set off for theological college. Just remember this view. What people are looking for in a parson is someone they can tell their troubles to and someone who can preach a decent sermon. How little that man understands the lofty and complex demands of a therapy profession. But as the years have gone on, I've come to see that he was more or less right. The parish priest is confidant and consoler, as pastor who enjoys the quirkiness and human particularity of those committed to his charge. That is the note I wish to end on. For someone as curious as I am about what makes people tick, this has been a wonderful vocation to be called into. Unlike therapists and counsellors, parish priests get to know how the story ends for those they work with. They accompany their people through all the life stages and are with them not just at dramatic high points, but also in the long stretches of ordinary living in which their lives quietly develop and flower into their growth to union with God. For someone as drawn to the mystical side of religion as I am, it's been a helpful discovery to find out that the point of intimacy life with God is not glamorous supernatural experience, but rather those infused graces that enable us to deal with difficult people, that fortify us with common sense wisdom and the endless challenge of building Christian community. And it will lead us to quietly enjoy the company of other Christians who are often very different to us. God has pulled off a sociological miracle in drawing the company of believers together from such a wide variety of social, cultural, and ethnic differences. In being connected to Him, we receive the resources to make the miracle work. Not long after my ordination, a friend and colleague mused, perhaps we've all got one great parish in us. I hope this one turns out to be mine. Spoken hopefully in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
They are to preach the word in season and out of season,
and who declare the mighty acts of God. They are to preside at the Lord's table and lead his people in worship, offering with them a spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. They are to bless the people in God's name. They are to resist evil, support the weak, defend the poor, and intercede for all in need. They are to minister to the sick and prepare the dying for their death. Guided by the Spirit, they are to discern and foster the gifts of all God's people, that the whole church may be built up in their unity of faith. You have made the declaration and has taken the oath required by law in the presence of the Bishop of Dunedin. Having heard his intention to fulfill the ministry to which he has been called, I may now institute him to serve in this place. And I have had prepared this license. Calvin, by the grace of God, Dunedin, to our well-beloved in Christ, Hugh Mark Bowron, Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts, Diploma of Theology, and Priest. Greetings. We have made declarations required by the Constitution and Canons of the Anglican Church in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and Polynesia. We grant to you our license and authority to exercise the office of vicar of the parish of St. Peter's Cowichan within our diocese and jurisdiction. We authorize you to build up the body of Christ by preaching and teaching the word of God from the scriptures, by celebrating the sacraments, and by guiding the life of the community committed to your care under this license and its worship and mission, in accordance with the doctrine of the Anglican Church of Aotearoa, New Zealand, and Polynesia, using only the forms of service which are authorized or allowed by law. However, we reserve to ourselves and to our successors, bishops of Dunedin, the exercise of our episcopal office in the Diocese of Dunedin, and our episcopal authority is set out in the canons and regulations in force in the Anglican Church of Aotearoa, New Zealand, and Polynesia, and the Diocese of Dunedin. You receive this ministry which is both mine and yours. May God grant you the grace to fulfill this ministry faithfully. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Archdeacon, I now authorize and require you to appoint Hugh to his new office and to support him.
By the authority of the Bishop, I, Graham, Archdeacon of Dunedin Hills, that you, Hugh, is the office of Vicar of St. Peter's Cowichan, with all the rights and responsibilities belonging to that office.
As a token of this, I give you this case. It is your duty and privilege to assure that God's house is open to all people, so that they may receive his grace and word, prayer and sacrament, in wonder, love, and grace.
Hugh, I place you in your appointed seat. The Lord sustain you in this office to which you have been called, and daily enable you to grow as a faithful servant of God and of his kingdom.
Amen.
a ministry of welcome and of leading young and old to new birth in Christ Jesus. Will you join me in helping to bring all people to know God's love for them and in revealing the riches of God's grace to them?
What a grace, God, that we may work together in seeking new members of your church, nurturing and caring for all who turn to Christ, so that they and we may grow in his love and in the gifts of the Spirit. To you be glory and praise forever.
Amen.
Thank you. I share with you a ministry of celebration as together we proclaim the passion and death of our Saviour and his living presence among us. Will you join me in this place in breaking the bread, in sharing the holy mysteries of his body and blood, and in renewing our fellowship together?
With the help of God, we will.
Lord of mercy, make us one with Christ and with each other in our giving and receiving, and equip us through your Holy Spirit to serve you with joy. To you be glory and praise forever.
Amen.
Hugh is now duly installed as vicar of St. Peter's Caversham. He has promised to serve in this ministry faithfully. Yet the work of the kingdom in this place is not his alone, but belongs to the whole church, priests and people together. You are the body of Christ in this place. Through you, God continues his work in the world today. Make full use of the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows on you. Be instruments of Christ's peace and love. Support one another in your lives and homes. Strive for justice. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, for without him you can do nothing. And so I ask you now, priests and people together, that you dedicate yourselves afresh to God in the service of the gospel.
With God's help we do.
Bishop,
Church,
we ask for
Christ's
vision
and
our
ministry
in this place.
Christ became
king who gives different ministries to his church to prepare God's people for Christian service. Bless you in the ministry to which he has called you. Build you together in one body to serve him here and guide you in the ways of justice and of peace, that his goodness and mercy may follow you all the days of your life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
May this oblation be acceptable to you, O Lord, and may your blessing rest upon your holy church and upon all who call upon your name, for the forgiveness of our sins and for the salvation of the whole world.
Amen.
The Lord is here.
Our spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer thanks and praise.
It is truly right to glorify you, Heavenly Father, and to give thanks, for you created the world through your grace and all its creatures through your kindness. In your Son, you put on our humanity to give us life through your divinity. In him you raised us from our lowly state. You restored our immortality. You forgave our debts. You cleansed us from our sins. And you enlightened us by your wisdom. You, our Lord and our God, conquered the powers of evil and made the lowliness of our fallen nature to triumph through the abundant mercy of your grace. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with the whole church in heaven and on earth, we lift up our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Thank you.
about Christ's death and resurrection. We ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebrations, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son, and be filled with your life and goodness. Strengthen us to do your work, and to be your body in the world. Unite us in Christ, and give us your peace. Have mercy, O Lord, on your servants, who have departed from this world, and bless all the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know you to be the true God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the great hope of the resurrection from the dead, and the promise of new life in the kingdom of heaven, with the Blessed Mother of God, the holy apostles and martyrs, and all who have been pleasing in your sight. And so, because of your wonderful kindness towards us, we give you thanks without ceasing in your holy church, and praise your great and glorious name.
Lord, hear our prayer.
of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb.
Thank you. and be filled with your holy and life-giving Spirit.
May it strengthen by these holy mysteries.
Bless the Lord.
And thanks be to God.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.